After the introductory lectures, which as we've seen are actually quite structured and they have a flow to them, and though there's some repetition, there is a certain pattern to them. After that introduction in the first 8-9 chapters, Proverbs no longer really has a structure. It is sort of a basket of different topics and different texts that Solomon had put together. Sometimes there's themes, or you could say there's veins going through it that focus on certain topics, but on the whole, that was not his main purpose, to categorize or to put things together. It's a book that we benefit by, so to speak, mining through, going through it and sorting through it and considering it, seeking out different things. Imagine the book of Proverbs, something like a mine. This mine has all different kinds of materials in it. You go in that hole deep under the ground, and there's iron, and there's copper, and there's also gold, and there's silver, and there's diamonds, and there's all these different precious materials, and some ordinary materials, some good for making tools, others because it's precious. And if you had a mine like that, and you owned the property that it was on, you'd certainly make the effort to go down into that mine and to dig down and to climb down and to sort through and to gather and to purify the different parts and to work at it. Well, Proverbs is something like that. It's a book that certainly takes some effort. That's the effort we've been introduced to in the first chapters, that the son ought to be diligent, and it takes some work to seek wisdom and to apply it. And when you embark on that study of Proverbs, you begin to see that there are certain patterns. Just like a literal mine, it'll have veins of gold, or it'll have veins of silver, and there'll be certain patterns under the ground. As you go through Proverbs, you see some things are emphasized more than others, and there's some topics that Solomon was very much concerned with, that he wanted to drive home again and again through repetition. And one pattern that comes up again and again is he speaks about the heart. Proverb after proverb speaks to the heart. There are other themes that we'll look at later: the mouth, the hands, the feet. They're also addressed, but more than anything, if you actually do a word search through Proverbs and you see the frequency of the different words, the word heart is right up near the top. It's up there with some of those little pronouns even, and some of those tiny little words that are used over and over and over. There are many, many Proverbs about the heart. And since that's a dominant theme of Proverbs, that's the first topic we're going to look at, the heart in Proverbs. First, we'll look at the corrupt heart, and then second, the wise heart. Well, to begin with, we need to consider what exactly did they mean by the heart in the Old Testament. We have to keep our focus on this, because they did not mean that heart that pumps blood through our bodies. Certainly they didn't mean that. They went to even a more basic definition. You could think of a word like core, or center, or inner part, and especially the hidden inner part. That's what they thought of as the heart. In the Proverbs, the heart is your inner self. It's the part that others cannot see. Other people can see how healthy you are physically. They can see whether you're a strong person or a weak person. They can see how you use your hands and all the different patterns of your life. But the heart is the inner part that others cannot see. And yet, as we'll see, the Lord can see. The heart, we could say, is what makes you tick. It's where choices are made. It's where directions are set. It's the place of especially your motives, your feelings, your desires, your plans, your thoughts. And in Proverbs, there's two different possible hearts, two types of inner person. The one is corrupt, and the other is wise. Your heart is in one of two places. Now, as we've seen in the first chapters of Proverbs already, especially chapter 3, the heart can either be maintained and it can be purified and it can be strengthened through the Word of God, or it can be neglected and it can be polluted. There's one of two kinds of hearts. And it's not always easy to see Proverbs really digs down into the heart because it's not easy to see at first. You can, for example, you can walk through a forest. And a good illustration of heart, because they thought of it as the core, is the heartwood of a tree. Now, you can walk through a forest and you can see a number of trees or two different trees, and they can both have leaves and they can both have nice bark and they can look relatively healthy. But if you've ever been in the woods with a chainsaw, you know that sometimes you cut into a tree and you thought it looked strong and healthy, and all of a sudden you hit this rot and this soft wood in the center. And later you look up and you realize there's a place where there's a split fork and some water has gotten into the middle of that tree, and some insects perhaps have gotten into there. And that tree is rotten at its core. It looks okay on the outside, but in the end, that's a very dangerous tree. You don't know which way it's going to fall. You don't know what's going to happen. And the reality is this is the same thing about human hearts. People can put up a pretty good face, a good facade, and inside they may be rotten, and eventually they will fall. The reality is, the default, the normal, the natural state of the human heart in Proverbs, it's shown to be perverse, fallen. And there's these warnings, warning after warning. I'd say the bulk of the verses in the Proverbs have a hint or a sense of warning to them. They're often comparative. We've seen that Proverbs are generally comparisons, but most of them, they come with this sense of warning. Watch out for your heart. It's dangerous. Most hearts are crooked, deceitful, not at all diligent. The mark of a heart, though, is that a disciple, a wise disciple, they're mining the word of God. But then there's this, so on the whole, the wise heart, it's working hard to mine the word of God and seeking to strengthen itself. But you could compare this, and on the whole, the dominant heart, it seems in Proverbs, or the main problem is this, you could say, wandering heart. It's wandering. It's always looking for the next fix, the next bit of enjoyment. It's always lusting after various things of this world. This heart, it's constantly going sideways. It's crooked. It's deceitful. Words that are used often are deceitful, corrupt, perverse. And Proverbs is a book that helps diagnose this spiritual heart problem. If you have a literal heart problem, you'll be short of breath. You'll have chest pains. You'll be easily fatigued. There'll be a number of different symptoms. Well, as you go through Proverbs, it contains verse after verse, and it helps us diagnose a spiritual heart problem. And there's some marks. Now we're going to look at some of the marks of a corrupt heart. First, it despises correction. The regret of the son that the father warns about in 5 verse 12 is, I've hated instruction and my heart despised correction. And the result is, I was on the verge of total ruin. We looked at that a few weeks ago. The wandering heart, when it goes off in the wrong direction, it really hates to be corrected. And so if a young person or a child, if they have a selfish heart, they hate to be punished. They see no value in it. They want to avoid it. They want to go in their own direction. So that's a first mark that comes up. Relates to pride. But a proud heart, it hates correction. Second, it devises wicked plans. It comes up a number of times. 6 verse 18, 12 verse 20, 20 verse 4 verse 2. There's this pattern of this perverse heart. And it's always churning through these evil plans. We would use a word perhaps like, this heart, it lives in sin vicariously. On the outside, the person may hold back from certain sins, but inside their heart, it's this heart, it's entertaining evil thoughts. It's making plans to do evil things and thinking about sins. And then in the end, sadly, ends up acting on those sins with pre-planning. That's a terrible thing to fall into. But you see, the danger of this heart is it's churning through evil plans always, thinking about wicked things. You know, we actually still make this distinction in our criminal system. You could think of something like first-degree murder. when somebody makes a wicked plan and then acts on it, and there's evidence that they've done that, we see that as a sort of a high-handed sin, a proud sin. We just sang of that actually in Psalm 40. Keep me from those sins of pride, those pre-planned sins. Well, you see, the wicked, the evil heart, it thinks about sin, and it churns through it over and over and ends up later acting on it. A third mark now. 12 verse 23. The heart is betrayed by the mouth. Several proverbs speak about how the heart of fools proclaims foolishness, or the Lord Jesus will later say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That rotten core, it may be hidden to a degree, but the mouth often betrays it. Words pop out so easily. It's betrayed by the mouth, a third mark of the corrupt heart. Now a fourth. This heart, in chapters 21 through 29 especially, it's characterized by a certain, we could call it a competitiveness or a vengefulness. This is a heart that's very proud. And there's many reminders there of envy and violence and vengeful thoughts that live in this heart. This is a heart that looks down on others, and it's always competitive. It's always wanting to one-up others. One warning, 24 verse 17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when it stumbles. Now that's just one example, but there's all these pictures, especially in the latter Proverbs, of this perverse heart that's dominated by thoughts of vindictiveness, of anger, of vengeance, always looking down on others, trying to destroy others. 24 verse 2, this heart devises violence and its lips talk of troublemaking. This is a competitive heart, a heart that wants to walk over other people. It's a gossiping heart, a vengeful heart. Sixth, another mark. This heart believes in itself. Its motto is, let your heart be your guide. Follow your dreams, and you'll find what you want. 28 verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. You see here a mark that exposes one of the great foolishnesses of our age. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. That's what we're taught to do above all else. That's what our education system now seems to be focused on. Trust your heart. Follow your heart. But the scriptures say that's foolishness. The corrupt heart presumes it knows best. But the wise heart seeks wisdom and looks to the Lord. You see, this foolish heart, it believes in itself. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now, another mark. 19 verse 3, the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. The perverse heart has this pattern. He's twisting on his way, and he's going in all his directions and banging into walls and getting into all kinds of trouble in life. And there's sins and there's regrets. And what does he do? Instead of blaming himself, he frets against the Lord. The perverse heart, it's always questioning the Lord. Better put, it's vexed with the Lord. He's angry with God. The perverse heart, it's always questioning hardships and circumstances rather than trusting in the Lord's sovereign control, that he's working all things for our good and his glory. The perverse, the corrupt heart, it frets against the Lord. Always angry with God. Now those are just a few of the marks, actually, of the corrupt heart in Proverbs. We do well now to look at our own hearts. Consider, how many of these marks are in your heart? How many of these patterns, if they are, that's not just a problem because it gets you down and it mixes up your life, or it makes you discouraged, or it bogs down your heart in troubles. The problem is that this heart, this perverse heart in Proverbs, it's known by the Lord. Proverbs 15:11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? The point here is, hell has not been experienced or seen by any of us. No one's gone there and returned. Hell is to a great degree, it's a mystery to us. We don't know much about it. Deep in our consciences and from the Word of God, we know that hell exists. We have that fear of judgment, naturally. But no one has first-person experience. It's a mystery. It's a place that we do not know. And yet, hell is before the Lord God. He knows it. It's open to Him. And He sees and He knows these unknown places and this whole spiritual world that's a mystery to us. And He has full understanding of the purposes of hell, and He knows every detail. And the comparison is that which is hidden to us is fully known by God. Your heart is fully known by God. You cannot hide any thought, any motive. Every sin is seen by Him. And it's, you see, the main point of the heart in Proverbs is that it's not just literal outward sins that are a problem. 16 verse 5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. We looked at that word abomination a couple weeks ago. It's a strong word. But think of this. Pride in the heart, it's disgusting. It's revolting to the Lord. When He tests hearts, you do not want pride to be there. And so in the end, the conclusion or the big picture of Proverbs is the problem with the heart is the Lord sees and knows everything. The core is, so to speak, inside out in Proverbs. You think it's hidden. You think that people can't see your motives and so they don't matter. Or you entertain a wicked thought and you think that doesn't matter. But in Proverbs, that's turned inside out. You think something like pride is not such a big deal. But it's clear and obvious to the Lord, and it's an abomination to Him. And He's even testing hearts. And so now, as we go through Proverbs, the question should be, do you find these problems in your heart? Do you hate correction? Do you hate it when somebody holds you accountable? You respond in pride with a rebuke. Do you make wicked plans in your heart? Is there deception in your heart? Is there vengefulness? Do you want to get back at others if they hurt or wrong you? Do you fret against the Lord when things don't go your way? Is there pride in your heart? Pride is somewhat the apex sin of Proverbs. Not murder, not adultery. It's pride that's an abomination to the Lord. If that's the story of your heart, if that's how you think and that's what goes through your mind, your heart, day after day, the call is repent. Confess that you've been a fool, that your heart is corrupt. Confess, Lord, my heart is proud. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And go to God's Word again to learn His ways. And now we're going to look at the other side, the wise heart that Solomon is pointing his son to again and again and again. The main way that the heart is strengthened and shepherded away from this perversion in Proverbs is through the Word of God. We've already looked through much of that in chapters 2 through 4, especially chapter 3, the fear and the knowledge of God. You remember all those verses, apply your heart to wisdom. Keep on, hang on to wisdom. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Retain my words in your heart. Keep the word, bind it up, tie it up. That was the message of chapters 2 through 4. The wise heart is an exercising heart, always working to cling to the Word of God. If you want to be healthy, in a literal sense, you need exercise. There's been some very recent studies that measured the effects of exercise against all other pharmaceuticals. And these studies have shown that if you exercise regularly, that's a better contributor to your health than the whole pharmaceutical industry put together. You could have all the best of the pills and the medicines out there, but exercise in the end makes a bigger difference to your health. And the main theme of Proverbs, especially in those early chapters, is to exercise your heart in the Word of God, to be a disciple, to be diligent. It's a process that takes work. It takes reading of the Bible. It takes thinking about it, not just going through by rote. It takes meditating on the Word of God. It takes listening to sermons and going back each day into the Word and thinking and meditating and praying for correction. The main picture, especially in those first chapters, is you need to have the heart
of a disciple. That's what Solomon's calling his son to be. A disciple, much like the 12 disciples should have been. Calls his son, diligently do everything in the word. Fill your heart, shore it up from the word. A mark of this heart. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. 18 verse 15. You see, the heart of the wise one, it's always looking for knowledge. Not in the sense of just memorizing some facts and reading some encyclopedias. It's a process of learning from the word that has as its goal knowing the Lord God, fearing and respecting God. As we've seen, it's a process that begins with humility, admitting your heart by nature, it's not strong. It's not filled with the right things. Admitting that your heart goes in all the wrong directions, and if left to itself, you will fail and you will fall. And so 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with your whole heart, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That's the kind of picture of a heart that Solomon painted in those early chapters. That's the kind of heart he wanted to have his son to have. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not a heart that studies for its own sake or to build itself up, but a heart that's humble, that's self-denying, that doesn't lean on itself but trusts in the Lord, that admits, I am a poor and a needy sinner that's hungry for the word of God. So that's the main mark of the wise heart. It's a disciple's heart. It's a heart that ultimately trusts in the Lord. But as you go through Proverbs, just like with the corrupt heart, there's marks of this heart. They're almost mirror images. They're almost exact opposites. Many times they're in the same comparison. When we looked at the introduction to Proverbs, the basic meaning of a proverb is that it's a comparison. It says one sentence that presents one side, and then it shows the opposite in the other. And many times, the wise heart, it's the exact opposite of the foolish. A mark is, it can take commands. A wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. 10 verse 8. A wise heart can take being told what to do. That's especially important in parenting. To teach children and to pray that by the work of the Holy Spirit, they would have that basic humility worked in them, that they would be able to take a command. They would be quick to listen. They would be able to obey. See a need for the work of the Holy Spirit there. But you see the contrast. The perverse heart can't take a rebuke, can't take a command. The wise heart can. Another mark of the wise heart. It's slow to speak. 15 verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. See that? The wicked heart, it's impulsive with words. It pours out evil in a debate or in an argument. That wicked heart, and even our world, always wants a quick comeback. Have you noticed, even in society or what's on the television these days, how much a quick comeback is valued, a quick and a cutting or a sarcastic comment that really puts somebody in their place, a quick joke that turns the conversation in our own favor. But the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, is slow to speak, slow to anger. Do we ever say, I'm not sure about that, I should look that up? Or do we ever say, maybe in the middle of an argument, maybe it's better that I just don't respond right now, but that in love for you, I think about this a little more and I go back to God's word and I think about how I should answer. That's how the wise heart is slow to speak, but even studies how to answer. No, it doesn't not answer and put it off and give the silent treatment. That's not the point. The point is the wise heart studies how to answer, takes some time, goes back to the word of God, thinks how to deal with the situation, doesn't always have to give an instant answer. Along the same lines, another mark of the wise heart, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The prudent, the wise man, he knows when not to share his knowledge. Perhaps he knows something about a neighbor, or he knows something about a friend that to most people it would be juicy gossip. They would love to pass on this little tidbit about something their neighbor did or something that happened at their neighbor's house that they know about. The prudent man knows when to keep his mouth shut. Or perhaps he's friends with people in high places. But the prudent man, he conceals knowledge. He doesn't need to elevate himself by even sharing all his knowledge or speaking about things. He doesn't use his mouth to build his reputation for reputation's sake. Certainly wise people speak when they ought to, but his heart actually teaches his mouth. Proverbs 16, verse 23. The wise man, his heart teaches his mouth. He doesn't just impulsively say things. He's careful with his words. Another mark. The wise heart does not drag a person down. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now, please don't get Proverbs like this backwards. Sometimes people interpret a proverb completely backwards and they think, well, I have aches and pains and therefore I must have a problem with envy. It's not saying if you have arthritis or soreness or some sickness that that's rooted in your heart. But what it is saying is those that live in envy, covetousness, they're always wanting more and more and more. They drag themselves down emotionally, and that even leads to physical weakness. Colossians 3 verse 5, it reminds that covetousness is idolatry. And so if you're clinging to idols of covetousness and you're always envying others and you're always wanting what's out there, that will actually affect your body. The word a sound heart in 14 verse 20, that's the word tranquil or a peaceful heart. Those with a tranquil heart, those that are content with what the Lord has given them, they're not envious, their emotional state will strengthen them. And so even if they face a trial, perhaps they face a disease in this fallen world, their heart is steady. It's tranquil. It's trusting in the Lord. It's not going after all the things of this world. And that actually buoys them up by God's grace. They're strengthened by their heart. Now, we could find many more marks in Proverbs. Those are some selections that reveal both sides. You see, they're very much polar opposites. But the most important thing is that we need to understand that our heart, it reflects who we really are. 27 verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so a heart, a man's heart, reveals the man. So water to them was like a mirror. In these ancient times, many people, the only time they really saw themselves was looking in water when it was flat. And what this proverb is saying is, looking at your heart is what exposes who you really are. Now, this is very important in our day, because in our day, there can be an overemphasis on deeds, on works. So people look at their past works and they define themselves by, I've done this or I've done that. Perhaps those are even wonderful good works, but they define themselves by, I went on this mission or that mission and I gave this much money and therefore I'm a good person. Or others, they slip into defining themselves by past experience. They had this experience or that experience at a church or at a camp or at some conference. But the real way to see who you are is not to so much look at past experience, but it's to look at your heart today, right here and right now. Your heart, and you and the Lord alone know your heart. Your heart is like looking in a mirror. It reveals who you are. If you look at your heart and you see covetousness and envy and that awful competitiveness we spoke of, that reflects who you really are. And Proverbs causes us to look at our hearts and to examine what motivates us, what's at our core. It's rotten or redeemed. Now, even more than that, it's not just our heart. But it's the Lord who's actively watching and testing hearts. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the hearts. Over and over, we already looked at one verse, but Proverbs shows the Lord is testing hearts. A polluted heart, it's being destroyed by this life. It's being burned up. You can also read of that in the epistles, 1 Peter. And the pure heart is being purified more and more. Contaminants are being burned away. And here's the point. Every one of you, even as a believer, you struggle with pollutions in your heart. You struggle with mixed motives and false motives. And you still, hopefully, as a believer, you struggle against sin. But the point is the Lord is testing hearts as he tests, as we would test silver or gold in a furnace. And as you go through this life, and as you go through trials, a final mark of the wise heart that is that as it is tested, it grows in sanctification. The Lord knows every thought. And as we go through trials and tests and different situations, either our heart is being purified, and we're giving up more and more on envy and covetousness and all those sins we listed, and there's a growing hatred of those sins, or there's a downward decline into more and more of those sins, which ends ultimately in hell. And the point is not that anybody here has a perfect heart. That's certainly not possible. Proverbs is, in the human sense, in one sense, Proverbs is like a mountain that can't be climbed. Imagine standing at the foot of Mount Everest with no preparations and no oxygen and trying to climb that mountain. It's impossible. You could stand and you could look at it. And yet, in a sense, Proverbs, it commands us to climb that mountain of perfection. But what do we find when we try to climb that mountain? It's impossible. But what should really happen as we try to climb it is that a good and a healthy fear of God should develop. You should go through a topic like the heart, and you should examine your heart and your motives, and a deep fear and a respect of God should develop. If the Holy Spirit is working and convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment, that's exactly the point of Proverbs. It should stir up a fear in us as we examine our hearts, and that should ultimately be a fear of God, an understanding that we cannot climb this mountain. If you examine your heart and you are honest, you will find pride there. You will find selfishness. If you examine your words, even in this morning, you will find that your lips betray some problems. And we should tremble to think the Lord weighs hearts and he tests hearts and he knows hearts. But that must take us in the end to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one Son who was pure of heart. We've looked again and again how this was passed down to Rehoboam and how he was really an abject, a complete failure. Rehoboam didn't take Proverbs to heart. If you read through the stories of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But it's the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, we must look to. In searching for verses about the heart in the Gospels, I could only find one verse that actually refers to the heart of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he often speaks very convicting words to the hearts of his disciples. But it seems only once that the heart of the Lord Jesus is described. Matthew 11, verse 29. He says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." Lowly in heart. Pride is the great abomination of Proverbs. The Lord Jesus comes and he teaches about his own heart, the very opposite of pride. He humbled himself, not just by coming in the flesh, not just in his actions of being humiliated, but even his heart was humbled. It's interesting, when the gospel is preached in the New Testament and in Acts, the gospel comes and it cuts to the hearts of the audience. It cuts and the word pierces to the hearts of the hearers, and they see their great need. They see their pride and their wickedness. They see that they've rebelled against the Lord God. And that's what Proverbs ought to do, pierce our hearts. But then it should point us to him, the Lord Jesus, who is gentle and lowly in heart. You know, if you go through Proverbs the true believers here. As you search through Proverbs, you'll find yourself convicted, especially also by this topic of the heart. But the Lord, when he speaks of his heart in Matthew 11, he's actually inviting. Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, the wrong response to Proverbs would be, "I really got to work on my heart and purify it and make it right. And if I could just do this and this and this, and if I could just discipline myself in this way or that way, or if I could just do more of this, then I could have a more pure heart." No, that's not the point of Proverbs. The point is that it stirs up by the work of the Holy Spirit a real and a true fear of God, a respect and a reverence for the Lord that can only turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the call is, if you look at your heart today and you see a lack of wisdom and all too many of these marks of a perverse heart, the call is, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Son of David. Trust in him. Amen.